Welcome to Feldman Talk World Radio. Review.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review. Thanking you for tuning in, and I'm glad you found your way here. You're at my therapy session. The world is going out of its mind right now. That's for sure. I hope everybody's doing okay. If you're in a lockdown state or you're in a lockdown country, I send my prayers to you. I hope you're hanging in there. If you have to wear a mask, what are you going to do, right? It's to mask or not to mask. That's always the question. And, it seems like certain states run by a specific political party are the ones that are having these issues, you know, with constitutional rights, right to assembly, right to choices, right to travel. And it just keeps going on, you know. But of course, now Pelosi's calling it the Trump virus. I mean, it's amazing. You know, they create egregious errors and egregious situations, and then they blame others, for them. It's amazing how they do it. It's amazing how they get away with it. All the time, but we know why. We already know why. So, but the COVID-19 response has just been, it's been weird. It's been weird to say the least. We've had many pandemics. Maybe not all of them reached the 140,000 death rate, but we had many pandemics where nothing was reacted to by this. They weren't marching doctors to the TV, running a death clock, doing a count, criticizing every chance they got, criticizing the response by the federal government, except during Katrina. And that wasn't a pandemic. That was a different kind of a issue. But, it's just been weird. It's been really weird. I mean, did we have to do it? There's people out there talking 300,000 dead by the end of the year and so forth. Well, we already know. The thing that astounds me, and that's why there's a lot of citizen journalists, that's why there's a lot of people on the internet searching out information themselves and trying to get it out there, is the fact of the matter is that the numbers, for example, the numbers in Florida were all pumped up, possibly doubled, because they were counting people that were testing positive for the antibody and people that were having active symptoms that were sick of COVID coronavirus, SARS coronavirus 2, that they were sick of it and had to be hospitalized, and they were counting it all together. And my understanding is that only about 10% of that number actually was going into hospitals with any treatable, with a treatable issue, where there's a ton of people that don't have any symptoms. There's just apparently there's presence of the virus. Then we find out that some of these tests are inaccurate, false positives, false negatives, and it just seems to roll on, and nobody's really owning up to it. They just keep talking about Trump because it's all about making Trump look bad. The coronavirus, the rioting across the country. They actually have people convinced that these people are rioting because Trump is the president. They're rioting because they had the opportunity, and they're rioting because they were getting the financing at this time, and they were laying in wait for the right time. It's not a coincidence, okay, that this rioting, this Marxist insurrection that we are experiencing in the United States, it didn't happen by mistake, and it wasn't a grassroots thing. The George Floyd death was an atrocity. We all agree to that. There's no question about that. There's no racists here. That was sick. The guy had his knee on his neck, and regardless, you can fight back and forth about, should it have killed him? Did it kill him? I don't know. But it was unnecessary actions that rogue police officer took. But for it to turn into this, they were already had this planned way in advance. You've got people dressed the same, chanting the same, doing the same damage all across the country, and they try to say, oh, it's just, you know, it's these little pockets of people. No, this is a very organized, violent insurrection going on. And it was timed with the COVID virus, because then everyone's locked down in their house while this whole thing is happening. And it's astounding to me. The denial by the mainstream media, the denial by the people that think they're going to ride this to a White House victory, the Democrats. They believe that all of this chaos that they're creating, okay, and allowing to happen, because you can see the mayors look the other way. They've burned down buildings. They've hurt people. They've attacked people. They've torn down statues. They've done all these crazy actions. And the federal government sends in assistance, and they're called the Gestapo. You know, that's the world we're in. That's kind of the world we're in. And before I get to the journal, Trump had requested the closure of a Chinese consulate in Texas and a Russian consulate. Oh, and that's another thing. Yeah, he is no friend of Russia, Trump, and he is no friend of China. And they keep talking that stuff, too, that like, oh, China's helping him. And Russia said, no, the Democrats are the ones that are in bed with the Chinese, in bed with the Russians. And, you know, Trump is trying to do what's best for the United States. And it hasn't been perfect. There's criticism to be made, you know, maybe at some level, especially in the message. But his intent and the results of his actions have been stellar. Okay, you can look at the economy, but for me, look at making Jerusalem the capital. I mean, that's stating a message. We got hit in 9/11. We shouldn't be kowtowing because we got hurt, because we're scared. You know, these people want us to be annihilated, and, you know, the Islamists, radicals, jihadists, and, you know, it's the same thing now. Why should we be tiptoeing around Iran? Why should we be tiptoeing around China and Russia? Why? We have no need to do that. Our system is the best system for the most people. Period. Period. Okay. And while the Iranians are enslaving people and locking people up, and the Chinese are enslaving people and locking people up, and the Russians, who knows what happens in Russia? You know, Russia's a real weird place. You know, kids get taken away before they're teenagers. They get put into schools to train them to be something that the government deems they're qualified to be. They don't get to pursue their dreams. You know, but here we are. So Trump wants to close these consulate downs because we got a lot of issues with China. We were sold out originally, I think, mostly by Bill Clinton and Al Gore to the Chinese. You know, and George W. Bush came through and he just went along with it. And Obama came in and he expanded it. He expanded it. But he had these consulates wrote down. I wanted to start the show with this because I thought this was a very curious and interesting story. So the Chinese consulate's due to be shut down on Friday. The Russian in Texas, the Russian consulate's supposed to be shut down by Friday in San Francisco. And what happens? They start burning documents. I thought this was the weirdest thing. They were burning paper documents in a trash can in the digital age. And I'm sure they could have just talked to Hillary Clinton about bleach bit and hammering your cell phones. And maybe she could, and maybe they could have just deleted everything and the FBI would cover for them. But maybe they don't think the FBI would cover for him, maybe. But it was astounding to me. They must have a lot of information on paper that's not digitally saved that they were trying to get rid of. So I don't know if you guys heard about this story, but the State Department had ordered the shuttering of the Chinese Consulate General in Houston, Texas, late Tuesday evening, and officials on the ground responded by reportedly burning troves of documents and barring first responders. That was according to Daily Caller. Now, State Department spokesman Morgan Ortegas said that the closure scheduled to take effect Friday will protect American intellectual property and America's private information. I'm glad, personally. You know, we got sold out to the Chinese. A lot of people like the Clintons and a lot of other people made a ton of money. Biden made a ton of money from this relationship with the Chinese. But America said, you know, Ortega said, you know, and he's the State Department spokesperson. He said Pompeo, he said the Vienna Convention states diplomats must respect the laws and regulations of the receiving state and have a duty not to interfere in the international affairs of the state, Ortega's continued. The United States will not tolerate PRCs, the People's Republic of China, violations of our sovereignty and intimidation of our people, just as we have not tolerated the PRC's unfair trade practices, theft of American jobs, and other egregious behavior. Hear, hear, right, guys? But then President Trump insists on fairness and reciprocity in the U.S.-China relations. Now, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, called the move an unprecedented escalation of its recent actions against China. Now, it is unclear what documents, if any, were burned in the consulate, but Houston Police and Fire Department spokesman reported smoke coming from a controlled fire within the consulate's courtyard about 8:30 p.m. local time. Okay? And the New York Post reported that the Houston firefighters and police have responded to a fire reportedly started by burning documents at the Consulate General of China. Houston police told the local, no wonder, you know, Houston, basketball, China. That was where Yao Ming played, wasn't it? Anyway, I digress. Anyway, Houston firefighters and police have responded to a fire reportedly started by burning documents at the Consulate General in China. Houston police told local NBC affiliate that they began receiving reports of documents were being burned at the location after 8 p.m. Now, video shared by a reporter at the station appears to show several people bustling around multiple burning trash cans in the building's courtyard. A small amount of smoke could be seen from the street, but police don't have the authority to access the building. You know, those are how they use our laws against us, right? Now, the consulate building's occupants are scheduled to be evicted at 4 p.m. on Friday, though it's not clear if the fire was linked to the eviction. Nah, this is just a wild conspiracy on my part. No injuries were reported, and calls to the consulate were unanswered late Tuesday. It's just, it's unbelievable. But these trash cans full of documents. Another article from Town Hall by Leah Barkokas. She said that several trash cans full of paper were burned in the Chinese consulate's courtyard on Tuesday night after the U.S. ordered its closure to protect American intellectual property and American private information. Quote, the United States won't tolerate it. You remember that. Now, Beijing vowed to retaliate after the Chinese foreign minister, Wang Wenbin, called an unprecedented escalation, the South China Morning Post reported. Now, China demands the U.S. revoke the wrong decision, Wang said. If the U.S. went ahead, China would take necessary countermeasures. What are they going to do? They're going to throw us out of China? You know, we unfortunately have too much manufacturing there. We have too much. We've given them too much technology and too much knowledge of our business processes and our manufacturing processes. But somebody made a lot of money on that. I guess we can all figure out who. Okay, and Trump's had it. And this is one thing where Trump's actually focusing on, just the way we hoped he would, was to get China. I mean, what, China? I mean, really. You know, we're sitting here. Our people are dying of COVID. And we're sitting here waiting because the Chinese are delaying the shipments of PPE, the shipments of the tests that were all made in China. I mean, you know, it was like, I guess the Clinton administration and Joe Biden and Kerry and Hillary and all the rest of them, they wanted to commit cultural suicide, right, by giving all this to China. But then there's another story. That the Russian consulate mysteriously started burning unidentified objects after Trump ordered its close. And this was reported in Newsweek by John, how do you say that name? Haltewanger. Is he a lib? I don't know. Anyway, black smoke was spotted rising out of the chimney of the Russian consulate in San Francisco on Friday, a day after President Donald Trump ordered it to close. Russia was told to close the consulate as well as two diplomatic annexes in New York and Washington by Saturday. Now, the San Francisco Fire Department sent a crew to investigate, but was ultimately turned away by the consulate workers. Again, you know, our own laws working against us. Now, in the process, an Associated Press reporter heard people who came from inside the consulate tell firefighters that everything was fine and that the smoke was the result of unidentified objects being burned in a fireplace. Now, Mindy Talmadge, a spokesman for the fire department, confirmed to AP that the firefighters were sent to the consulate to determine the smoke was coming from the chimney. Talmadge also noted that it was a hot day in the city, with temperatures reaching 95 degrees by noon, and she was unsure of what they might have been burning. It's not unintentional. They were burning something in that fireplace, Talmadge told the AP. So think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump makes a move to put pressure on two communist regimes that are up to no good, that have never been up to no good. These two countries, China and Russia, are not our friend. They've never been our friend. They've undermined us constantly. You know, back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, Nixon worked with Mao. In fact, George H.W. Bush and his family, Barbara and the kids, George and Doro and Marvin and Jeb and all the rest of them, they lived in China for 2 years while they worked out this negotiation. But one of the biggest mistakes we made, because we learned after that China was China and China was communist and that was it, with their little satellite state, North Korea, right? You know, but you know, China got into the WTO. There was a lot of people like Joe Biden lobbying for that. And it was one of the worst things that happened. And now they kind of control it. They kind of control it. You know, they've managed to steal everyone's manufacturing, steal everyone's intellectual property, steal everyone's technologies, military technologies, business manufacturing technologies, business process technologies. And it just hasn't stopped. And so China and Russia are burning paper in the digital age. I mean, what else could this be? You know, these have to be documents that were not saved digitally so they couldn't be traced. Because let's face it, the NSA, every email, every phone call, everything that you do, they have some kind of digital, some binary transactions. Digital transactions, and they're there. But I thought it was kind of weird that they're all burning this stuff. So I'm going to keep an eye on this story. It's very strange for me to even think that in the digital age, that, you know, two of the superpowers of communist evil, after having stolen so much technology and done so many nefarious things over the years, to us, to the EU, to other countries, to other places, it's amazing they'd just be burning paper. I don't know. It seemed kind of weird. But how about Twitter? You know, Twitter's attacking. There's a war on conservative sites. They're shutting sites down. Google put some kind of algorithm in. You know, of course they always come up with some weak apology later, but they put an algorithm in. So, like, if you put in Gateway Pundit or you put in one of the conservative sites, it wouldn't bring it up. It wouldn't even be there. You could go to DuckDuckGo and you could go to, another search engine and get it, but not at Google. And the war is on. And Jack at Twitter, he's going after it. And what I've been finding is a lot of articles and a lot of that I know are accurate and a lot of pictures that I also know are accurate are being, you know, fogged out by Facebook, you know, with a little disclaimer. This is not true. The fact checkers. Now they have all fact checkers that just happen to be Marxist atheists, you know, and so they're looking at it. They're looking at it from their prism, and they're really not doing a fact check at all. They're just trying to find ways of deflecting that this photograph means this, that this article means this, that this story means this, and you know, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible being fact checked. I'm being fact checked by Facebook. I don't know what's worse, you know, getting, like, I've been tossed off Twitter a number of times. I've been shut down and, you know, because I broke the rules, whatever the you know, they say I broke the rules. And whenever I see the little thing about what rule I broke, it doesn't seem like I ever did. I got thrown off a lot. Okay, but they weren't fact-checking what I was posting. Now they just, you know, they might make it disappear. But now Facebook is doing that. They're fact-checking. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it's taken us a while to get here. But the title of tonight's journal is Why Are We Here? And I think we all see why, you know, where we are, you know, right now. It's absolutely incredible. The Democrat Party, you know, what, 40% of the population are all cheering for the destruction of America, for the destruction of history, for the destruction of statues, buildings, the police department, the destruction of what they call white supremacy, or, you know, this systemic racism that maybe it existed a long time ago. It doesn't exist now. It doesn't exist now. I wasn't raised as a racist, and my kids weren't. And those are just facts. Those are just the facts. But why are we here? And I guess I could go. I mean, I could go way back, you know, back to Marx and Lenin, or I could go back to the 20s and Woodrow Wilson. You know, in the beginning of progressivism and Margaret Sanger, did you hear about Margaret Sanger? Planned Parenthood put out a story today that they're going to take down her name away from their website and her pictures away from the website so it can no longer be affiliated with the woman that founded Planned Parenthood with the main goal of aborting black babies, Jewish babies, and the descendants of the military. And you guys should, you know, if you haven't ever read her speeches, the ones she gave to the Ku Klux Klan and ones that she gave to different radical Democrat racist groups back in the 20s, you should read those speeches because it'll really explain to you. You don't have to worry about going to Life News. If you really want to understand what the war against Planned Parenthood is, it's a war against eugenics. It's a war against a governmental system, a system supported by government money and government law. Okay, to abort babies, to shrink populations of certain groups of people. It's racist, it's culturalist, it's sick. You know, Bill Gates is into his population control, and a number of other people are into this population control thing, and they just don't have the right. They just really don't have the right. But why are we here? So I'm gonna start from 9/11. Right? You guys remember what that is, right? It's amazing. Sometimes you have to remind people, and a lot of these people voting in this coming election weren't even born, you know, at 9/11. Maybe they were born, but they were very small. And 9/11 came, you know, George Bush, where was he? He was in a classroom. He was reading a book to a class. Looked like predominantly black class. He was reading a book, and he was going to be the education president. You know, that was his goal, the education president, after Bill Clinton. You know, Bill Clinton sold us out to the Chinese. So he was going to be the education president, and he was reading a book, and 9/11 happened, and they came and got him, and they made him look like a doofus. In fact, it was the whole Al Gore, you know, whiny baby. You know, they talk about, you know, Trump, you know, he's not going to leave if he loses the election. Okay, Gore and Hillary Clinton could never walk away. They could never shut up. They could never accept defeat. They could never really bless the handoff. And, you know, they should really talk about it. But 9/11 came, and George Bush couldn't be the education president anymore. He had to become a wartime president. We were just attacked in multiple levels and multiple places by Islamic jihadists that are still trying to kill us. By 2004, he had gone from 65% approval rating to one of the most hated men in the country. Why? Okay, because by 2004, 2005, the Democrats knew they had an election coming up in 2006. So they buried him. Katrina was an opportunity to bury him. Every time something happened, they went after to bury him. Okay? even the weapons of mass destruction crap. And I'm going to tell you, there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and they were run off into the Baqa Valley in Syria. And you know how I know? Because some of them are, there are articles out there that our Marines found some, but so did ISIS. And ISIS used some of the chemicals that they had found that were buried, that were hidden in the Baqa Valley in Syria. So then there was, you know, so there was the WMDs, oh, you know, and what's his name, Colin Powell, he's still walking around kicking himself in the ass for supporting the whole thing. But, you know, we got screwed. You know, Bush tried to get us into Iraq fast. Turkey agreed to let us go through their air base into northern Turkey, into the Kurdish area. And after the 4th ID landed in Turkey, Turkey said, no, we changed our mind. So we had to wait because we couldn't go in without the 4th ID at the same time, the way things were set up. So we had to wait. Well, it's not really funny, but we had to wait while the 4th ID went all the way around. Yeah, all the way around to come up from the south. Or it was delayed by somebody. Maybe George Bush delayed it. I don't know. But there was a big delay. And we didn't, you know, they had a lot of time to sneak stuff out. So then 2006, it became Nancy Pelosi's house because we lost a house in 2006. Economy was doing good. We were recovering from 9/11. We had entered the other wars. And suddenly the Democrats controlled the house. They controlled the house. And suddenly, within a year, in fact, I told my wife this the night they took the house. In 1 year, the economy is going to start to crash. And don't you know the economy started to crash? And it crashed and it crashed. And they still were, they treated, when I see George Bush talk to Michelle Obama now, it makes me want to throw up. Because the way the Democrats treated George Bush, George W. Bush at that time, was horrible. It's like he forgot. Maybe he's got the same problem Biden has. He just forgot what happened. It wasn't that long ago. You know, 2006, 2007, and 8, he lost. And by 2007 and 8, George Bush had just given up. He was just there. He was just there. And he wasn't running again. And he was just there. And the House Democrats started their games in full swing. In full swing. Because, again, George Bush, W. Bush, had interrupted them, you know, the same way Trump interrupted him, Bush interrupted them. And they thought they were going to get him on the next election. John Kerry, the veteran, communist. You know, he's a real radical. John Kerry, you know, founded the Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And on the surface, it sounds like it's the Vietnam veterans that were against the war. But it was really a cover for a Marxist organization, a pro-Marxist organization. And we've seen those lately as well. 2009, what happened? So it's Pelosi's house. They start putting all these crazy rules in place. They played around with the filibuster. I don't know if you guys remember it all. But all this crazy stuff happened. And then Obama comes along. McCain can't beat him. Romney can't beat him. McCain was terrible. McCain would have lost by 20% more if it wasn't for Sarah Palin, who pulled in a lot of real conservatives and some evangelicals. And Romney just gave it away. I mean, the first debate, Romney kicked his butt. I thought this is going to—he's going to clean up because the race was close. Obama had no business winning that second election. But back then, what he did in 2010, he weaponized the IRS through his friend Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner worked with the Federal Election Commission, the FBI, and the Democrat National Committee to put together a list, a hit list, of patriot groups, of Tea Party groups, of pro-Israel groups, Zionist groups, and Jewish organizations. They never talk about that. They always talk about the Tea Party got shut down. But all these different groups did, and the Jews did too. What did that mean? They couldn't get their charity money. They couldn't register as a 3C or 4C charity. And they couldn't get their money. We lost our ground game. Conservatives lost the ground game. The opposition party lost the ground game because they were tied up. He had no right to win. It was an abysmal first 4 years. Abysmal first 4 years. And you know they cheated anyway. But he won in 2012. And he promised the Russians. You remember everybody sees that tape with him and Medvedev? I'll have a lot more flexibility after the election. Yeah, 2012. 2012 came. He opened relations with Cuba. He being Barack Hussein Obama. Probably, it's terrible what he did, you know? Millions of more people on food stamps, higher unemployment, more manufacturing leaving the country. It was absolutely a horror. People just, do you not remember? Does anybody remember? Even these independents and people on the fence, give me a break. Joe Biden's the answer. So they opened up relations with Cuba. They opened up, a socialist communist police state. The socialist communist police state. I'll be taking calls in about 5 minutes. It's 515-605-9344. And, then we gave Iran billions of dollars and gold bullion. He flew it in the middle of the night. You know, he was dealing with all the African socialists and funneling money to elections to elect African socialists. You know, they formed an alliance while Hillary was at the State Department with the Muslim Brotherhood and gave Egypt to the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, the same people that messed up, you know, Laura Logan. And he did nothing about it. He did nothing. Thank God for General Sisi and the Egyptian army to take Egypt back from the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, Hillary was supposed to swoop in. You know, this misguided, dangerous agenda for America. You know, China got our manufacturing, our intellectual property, our technology. Russia got to expand their influence in the Middle East and in Africa. Iran expanded into South America, sending weapons, as well as the Middle East, even more. And then Trump won. It shook up the leftist, elitist, criminal world. And the handoff from Obama to Trump was a fraud. What they did to him, they wiretapped, they spied. They did all these crazy things here. Well, I got a couple of callers, so I'm going to put the callers on here for a second. Let's
Hello.
First caller, area code 845. What's your name and what you got to say?
Well, this is Mike. I'm calling from New York, and I couldn't agree with you more. Everything you're hitting is right on, but a lot of people, they have short memories. And, I mean, I have friends of mine that served up by Anaconda in Iraq, and I think south of Balad, they told me they found a processing, an industrial center that had a chemical laboratory and factory where they had bunkers.
Yep.
And they had chemical weapons that were stored in those bunkers. And since then, the New York Times did, I think, two articles admitting that these weapons were found. There were artillery shells. There were bombs that were found in there. And our guys were not allowed. Right away, immediately, Army security went. They confiscated everybody's phones to make sure nobody took pictures of it. And we had to secure the area to make sure that the insurgents couldn't get their hands on that stuff. The problem was the crap was leaking. And we're losing soldiers still today. Guys are getting sick every year that happened to be up in that area. In the meantime, they say, no, it never existed. But I know one master sergeant that the guy died last year from a rare form of leukemia, and you know it was from being exposed to that crap.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they believe what they wanted, what fits their little reality. And another thing that everybody forgets about is when we first went in, do you remember how all of a sudden there was a patriotic attitude? It wasn't just Bush that threw them a curve like Trump. It was the patriotic attitude, and everybody started to realize and get it when the World Trade Center was hit. And people actually turned against the media. Do you remember for a short time there, the media was scrambling?
I do.
Because they lost the support. People forget all about that. It's amazing.
Yeah, they do. No, there's very short memories. I appreciate your comments, because there's a lot of people that still run around and say, you know, that it was all, you know, Colin Powell for one, that, you know, that it didn't happen, that it wasn't there. But there was evidence all through the issue that it was there. And especially later, after we were in, like as you said.
Well, do you want to know one of the main reasons that they kept it shut, according to the guys that I know, is they opened up the bunkers and they took a look and they were telling me, they said, you know, the majority of the crap that were inside these bunkers that they had where they had them stored. It was stuff that was produced in Italy, Germany, England, France.
Right.
So now it was sold to Saddam years ago. But that would be embarrassing for us to expose this. And how would it look to our NATO allies? We have to have the coalition
EU,
of the
right?
willing. We couldn't do that to them. So we had to shut up and suck it up. And the media loved it. And they ran with it. And we couldn't admit.
No, that's
right. It would make them look bad.
And that's why
there's
I was talking about that period
it.
Because
yeah.
they learned their chops back then of what we're seeing today with the controlled media with the I call it the art of omission, which is it's worse than lying because they just omit so much information. And that's a sad thing. It's a really sad thing.
As long as the American public, as long as they remain lazy, they stay lazy and stupid and focused on their own lives instead of a broader picture and looking at what's happening around them and rely on the media to tell them what to think and how to analyze things, then we're going to have this problem nonstop. And you know what? And we've also got one or two generations because of the schools. Yep. The schools have ruined it. These kids don't. They don't know anything. I mean, I was taking a look at, I watched the feeds off of these people that are streaming over at the protests. And there was a BLM truck. And on the back of the BLM truck, right in front of the Justice Center in Portland, it said, brown shirts are coming to a neighborhood near you soon. And I looked at that. I said, wait a minute. Are they comparing themselves to the brown shirt? Do they even know? They don't. They really have no idea. History, forget it. I mean, this Common Core is destroyed. These kids are idiots. They are really idiots. But their arrogance is out there, and it's telling them something different. They think that they know more than they're... I don't know. It's...
I understand.
It's bizarre.
My wife and I raised four millennials, and we watched some of the lesson plans and some of the things that they were doing in school. And I was astounded by it, because they were teaching you what to think, not how to... You know, when we were in school, we were taught to think critically. We were given information and to come to opinions and decisions, and that no opinion was wrong, and you just had to be able to express what your opinion was. And now there isn't any of that. There's not that. The critical thinking's been pulled out of it. They're teaching them what to think, who the good guys were, who the bad guys were, and so forth. It's bad.
They want to belong.
You're right.
They're desperate to belong to a group, and we want to belong to the ones we are morally superior to these other creatures, these conservative type people. We're the better ones. We're smarter. We're more educated. We have degrees. We're not lowlifes. Like, this is how they think. And
right.
I had a friend of mine. Raised his daughter very conservative. I think she's in college. And last year he went to Cuba. And I said, "What are you going to?" He said, "I always wanted to see it." He said, "And it was opened up." He said, "I had my chance before they shut the door again. I want to go." Okay, so he went, came back. He said, "I'll never go again. It was wonderful to go. The people were great." And he said, "It's pretty bad." He was outlining everything that he saw over there. All right, fine. But anyways, about 2 months later, his daughter is going to college. She's in her third year. And he got into a big argument with her. She was telling about socialist this and the American society that and everything. He said, "I didn't raise you like this. I didn't, where is this coming from? Where?" He said, "I'm going to tell you what." He said, "I'm going to pay for your trip. I'm sending you to Cuba on vacation. Everything's paid. I want you to go." And he did. He sent her. She came back completely different. Her attitude completely changed. She said, "Mike, that was the best money I ever spent."
No, she probably got rid of her Che Guevara shirt after that, I hope.
Yeah,
because
she stopped
it. When you know the... Yeah. That's so
true.
But, hey, Mike, I appreciate the comments, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on. And if you want, just mute me and I'll keep listening. I'll be here.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you, man. Everybody, Mike.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And I have I have another call here, area code 407.
Hey, I'm really enjoying your conversation, but you're touching on what the problem is, but you're getting close to it, but you're not really touching it. You're sitting here, I can tell, you're trashing the Democrats mostly, but you get real close to getting frustrated with the Republicans. But here's the thing, the Republicans and Democrats are one party. They take the the pressure off of each other from election to election, and they got me and you down here divided. But if you look at real close, like you said, you're talking about W, okay, and how they treated him. But at the end of the day, I remember hearing about at the end of Obama's election, he trashed Bush, you know, 4 more years of Bush, you know, that kind of stuff is if you vote for McCain. But then he goes in the Oval Office and W, I heard, gave him, and I think it was Obama that said this, he congratulated him on a good campaign. In other words, you were smart. What you did was smart.
Yeah.
You won. You know, and it's like, you know, how can you get up there and pretend that you're at each other's throats and then congratulate? I'm going to show you a couple things, and then I want you to start thinking in this direction. You know, you talk about China. Obama gets credit for that because he's the one that signed the bill on NAFTA. Okay, but NAFTA was a Republican policy. If you remember back to 1994, there was a contract with America. The first, they had 8 promises.
That's correct.
The first promise said, we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. That was the first law. I don't know where they thought they were, the Republicans thought they were already above the law anyway, but all 8 laws, all 8 promises, they had a majority in both houses and they didn't have the numbers to pass it. And they stood up. He promised he would bring it up. And I'm getting to some. He promised that they would bring it up within the first 100 days. Day 97, I was serving in the military. I served under 3 presidents, okay? Whenever Clinton was president. But in 94, they got the majority, right? And they on day 97,
right.
Newt Gingrich and all the Republicans are standing on the Capitol steps. And Newt steps up to the mic, and he says, we did it. And everybody cheered. We did it. We brought them all up within the first 100 days, and he did it on day 97. But he forgot to mention they didn't have enough numbers to pass any of it. There was term limits were in there. And, you know, it was just And then when you look at what happened in those years, everything they did was they gave our economy to this global economy, and which basically, according to Article 6, they can't get into it. We can't get into any agreement or any treaties that outranks the Constitution. They gave us they put us into a global economy. And if you ever get a chance, go look at George Daddy Bush. He wrote an executive order 12803. He should have been put in jail for that. And yet I see how they fuss. You see how Clinton and Bush attacked each other during the elections. And at the end, Bush and Clinton get on a plane and they travel around uniting the people after 9/11, you know, just trying to get us all united. You know what? If you treated me the way they treated each other, I wouldn't be a part of it. And But if you look at our – I'll give you another one real quick. You know how to do it. I'll say this. Every policy that Trump got elected to repeal, not one of them is a Democrat policy. They're all Republicans. You know, here's one that's a hot one. If you go look at Roe v. Wade, in 1969, George H. Daddy Bush, Congressman George Bush, wrote a law called Title X, which said it's a law. We have to fund Planned Parenthood. That's before Planned Parenthood was in our minds. And in 69-70, Nixon, a Republican, signed it into law. 73, Roe v. Wade came along. 7 of the 9 judges that ruled for Roe v. Wade were all Republican-appointed judges. And yet every election we run into, the Republicans are running on, if you're pro-life, we're gonna try to get Roe v. Wade. They're not. They're lying to us, you know. And it's the same with this recent...
That's why I'm registered independent myself. So.
Yeah, I'm a no party affiliate, but I was a Republican from 1978 to 2004 when I got my first computer. I went back to the Great Depression up to that point, and I realized then that the two party system, I mean the Republicans, have never done anything that they say they believe in except for the 2 terms of Reagan, and now during the Obama term. But every one of them, the Republicans right now are hate. You know this H.R. 6800. God, this is crazy. There was 23 Republicans because they don't like this stimulus bill that Pelosi's coming up with. They're so convicted about it, 23 of them were as a present not voting, which means, you know, you can say, I don't like it, I'm not going to vote for it. But guess what? That gives the Democrats their numbers. So it's a game, man. It's a game. They did the same thing in 2016. You know?
Yeah.
In 16, when the baby body parts for sale with Planned Parenthood got exposed, and
yeah.
you heard the
yep.
Republicans saying, well, that's it, I'm not going to fund, I'm not going to, we need to defund Planned Parenthood. But guess what? They was not voting against it. They were just present not voting, which gives them the numbers to do it. I've studied their vote
You're
record,
right.
and I can tell you stuff. And this is why in 2004 I switched to no party affiliate with a vow that I will only vote for citizen candidates who have a consistent resume. If you've been a mechanic for 20 years and you're tired of the way the country, or you're a Navy SEAL coming back from the war, or you're insurance or doctor, and I will vote for you. I've never seen my candidates win, but I've never voted for any career politician since then. But I do vote.
Yeah, no.
And
you're right. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Nathan in Orlando.
Nathan in Orlando. Listen, call back again. We can,
I will.
You know,
I just ran across your show. I like it, man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, man. It was a great point. It's a really good point because that's one of the things that what Nathan's pointing out is one of the things that we're dealing with is that, you know, it is a cabal. It crosses the aisle, as they say. And they've been together in it for a long, long time. But it's been very difficult. I just think the left-wing progressives are much more of a threat to liberty. But you can tell by, you know, one thing Trump has exposed, and Nathan, I think, will agree with this. One thing Trump has exposed is that these Republicans are not fighting for anything. They're not defending Trump. They're not fighting for anything. The only one you hear about is Romney, and he's against Trump, and it's really getting annoying. But it is kind of a cabal. I voted against NAFTA in that election. I voted for Bob Dole. I voted against NAFTA. So I do recall. But that's some good points. And but you know, it's been getting hard. You know, money. Money, right? The root of all evil. And, you know, as far as career politicians, we should stay away from them. One thing I liked about Trump, because I was originally supporting Ted Cruz, but, you know, Trump, he's not a politician. He doesn't have a poli-sci degree. He didn't go to Ivy League for his JD, his law degree. And, you know, he's definitely stirring the pot. And, you know, it hasn't been a perfect run, that, you know, for sure. But I have to admit, I was enjoying that until COVID came along. Got pretty annoying, you know. But, you know, Trump, you know, he definitely shook up the criminal world, you know, of both Republicans and Democrats. In fact, I've seen many people describe the four presidents after Reagan as all criminals. And I believe it now. And it's really been unmasked. But you know, after Trump shook up the elitists, and he still continues to shake them up, which is one of the reasons why I do support him. There's not a lot of other choices, but I do support him, and I like a lot of the things he's been doing. But he gets called he's a racist, right? He's xenophobic. He's a Nazi. He's sexist. He's not going to accept the loss the way Hillary and Gore so generously accepted their losses, right? You know, he's using stormtroopers, Gestapo tactics. And I'm so sick of the lies and the attacks on Trump. You know, there may be things to criticize, but it's disingenuous to call him these things. Okay? You know, too many can't even see. Okay, that we're witnessing a Marxist-Islamist coalition revolution running through our country right now. We're watching the Democrat Party support it. Okay? The MSN is conveniently not showing any of the riots in action, okay? But they're interpreting it. But then they're creating these false narratives about this being Trump's fault. But we know that the Democrats were all in on the riots, all in on the violence, all in on Trump supporters, police supporters, Constitution supporters being physically attacked. you know, and isolated. Okay? The revolt, you know, they took down statues. They burned cars, police cars, precincts, government buildings, churches. They threw projectiles at cops, trying to bait them to respond, to create a video spot that they could claim was proof. Proof! Here's the proof! Trump's the fascist! When they're really the fascists. And you don't even, you don't hear anything. I you know, when I'm on Twitter, I really go after like Murkowski and a lot of the other people, the senators and the Republicans, because they do nothing. You never, they don't even try to support it. They don't even stand up and make a comment. Yet all this hate and violence was deemed peaceful protesters when they've been everything and anything but peaceful. 2 full months of insurrection. Okay? Suppose, you know, the, you know, and I said the art of omission. You know, they don't show the true level of violence so people can understand what's going on. So Trump's going to use federal police assets to hunt down killers, to hunt down these violent anarchists and Marxists and Islamists, to protect the federal buildings. You know, these guys are walking the streets, threatening citizens, hurting people, destroying businesses, acting out their warped worldview, a regurgitated worldview. It's an old worldview. Okay, shared by the likes of Stalin and Hitler and Mao, Pol Pot, Castro, Che Guevara, the Ba'ath Socialist Party in the Middle East. It's that same sick worldview, right? That is a conspiracy theory. And the term Black Lives Matter gives them cover. Gives them cover from their Marxist-Islamist goals. You know, but what we have, and it gets clearer every single day, is a Marxist-Islamist revolutionary coalition coupling with the Democrats, the left-wing media conglomerate, Hollywood, television, the social media giants, to maintain what has become their status quo. Well, Trump messed up that status quo. And they are trying, they are going at him with both barrels all the way around. And as much as we could say that there's a lot of issues, we got to vote as a bloc. We have to vote these progressives out, whether they're progressive Republicans, progressive independents, Bernie Sanders, progressive Democrats, these people have to go. They're anti-American, and their policies are getting people killed. You know, oh, like, you remember the riots in Baltimore ways back? Oh, let them give them 24 hours to get it out of their system. Well, now it's been 2 months for these people to get it out of their system, but they're not going to get it out of their system. Now, the Democrats honestly believe that they're going to be able to control this mob, when it's all said and done, when it goes back to an election, things settle down, say Trump wins or Trump loses, they think if they win, they believe that they're going to be able to control them. But no, they will come for them next. If they, and they've already started coming for them. Certain of these progressive left-wing mayors have already had visits to their house and had graffiti sprayed on their garage doors. They already know what this is going to, and they're not going to be able to control it. There is no way, no way they're going to be able to control this. But we're going to have to see. Trump was out today. He's sending. He's going to start using the offices that were set up all over the country. And, you know, hopefully can start protecting people and protecting businesses. It's what we got to hope for. That's what we pray for. But, you know, one thing I got to say is it's time to open the schools. It's time, you know, this COVID shutdown, okay, this was a very bad disease, a very strong disease in a lot of ways. And, of course, it should be because it was a man-made, modified coronavirus based on the SARS coronavirus 1. But this one had a special trick to get into the cells better and stronger than other coronavirus, which coronavirus is also the common cold, depending on which, you know, strain you have. But it's really time to reopen them. And John Hindemaker of Powerline wrote something I wanted to just take a look at here. He goes, it seems almost incredible that in a number of states, serious consideration is being given to helping the public schools, keeping the public schools closed in the fall. Given that the coronavirus is rarely dangerous to children, less so, in fact, than the average seasonal flu, it is hard to understand the rationale for continued closures. Right? I mean, the most, we know why. There's an ulterior motive to keeping us all in our house with a mask on. Now, the most commonly offered excuse is that children may infect teachers. Presumably, that is possible. But a UK epidemiologist said yesterday that scientists are yet to find a single confirmed case of teacher catching coronavirus from a pupil anywhere in the world. Teachers' unions are the main proponents of the continued school closing. And why? See, I'm digressing now. Why? Because they're in like Flint with the Democrats. They're in like Flint with the progressives. They're part of this Marxist wave in our country. So the teachers' unions, which have destroyed, they've been part of destroying the education in America and dumbing people down, like Nathan was talking about before. The schools are so bad. These unions are the enemy, just like the mainstream media is. Okay, now these teachers are claiming that they would like to be paid in full to work. The impulse is understandable, if not commendable. As usual, teachers' unions are happy to throw kids under the bus. The experience with online learning when schools closed last spring was poor. When I interviewed Governor Noem of South Dakota in a webinar 2 weeks ago, this was Hindemaker talking, she said that her state, which has a relatively high educational standard, somewhere between 20 and 30% of all students were never heard from once learning went exclusively online. They never logged on, never completed an assignment. Now, I've seen similar numbers in other states. To make matters worse, the students who effectively drop out are undoubtedly the very ones who need the public schools the most. And this is a problem, and this is going to hurt. You know, they want to talk about caring about blacks and minorities and the poor people. This is going to affect them. But I wanted to cover this story. I only got about 3 minutes left in the show. I want to thank you all for tuning in. But if you guys are familiar with Janice Dean from Fox News, she's like the Janice Dean, the weather machine, I think Ducey used to call her all the time. Well, during the shutdown in New York, you know, genius Andrew Cuomo decided that he would send infected people with active Crohn's, not people that just had the antibody tested. Oh, they're positive. There's a spike. No, these were people that actually had symptoms, that actually had to be treated in a hospital and an emergency room in an ICU environment. Okay. Were all sent to nursing homes. And Janice Dean lost her father-in-law and her mother-in-law because of these decisions that were made. And she wrote an op-ed for USA Today, because she's one of the few people that get an op-ed in USA Today that would criticize these people. But I want to read it. Janice Dean, COVID-19 killed my in-laws after Cuomo's reckless New York nursing home policy. And I'll just be really quick here, but I think she deserves a minute. She writes, Governor Andrew Cuomo's motto during the coronavirus pandemic has always been New York tough. It is the title of a new poster he commissioned and is selling to commemorate what appears to be his own personal journey during the COVID-19 pandemic. But when it comes to tough questions about his leadership during this time, Cuomo has shown he isn't so tough at all. In fact, he prefers to place blame on anyone but himself for the disastrous decisions he made. Last week, the governor held a press conference to reveal his poster. It's a picture of a mountain that represents every curve found on a graph depicting more than 32,000 deaths in New York State. There are plenty of inside jokes on his mountain of death, including a cartoon drawing of presumably his daughter's boyfriend hanging off a cliff, the governor's fancy sports car that he likes to pose on Instagram, and a giant nose with a cotton swab inside of it. That is apparently a nod to an insensitive, giggling interview involving a giant cotton swab he did with his brother on CNN around the height pandemic in May. My family didn't have to die. He goes, many of us aren't laughing. My husband's parents died of coronavirus in their elder care facilities. We lost his dad in late March, his mom 2 weeks later. My family wasn't able to see them before they died. They weren't given last rites, wakes, or funerals. They died alone. And you should go. It was from today's issue of USA Today. In the op-ed section, you should definitely go check it out. I want to thank you for tuning in here to Feldman World Review. I am Brian Irving, the host here. Thanking you for tuning in. Love the calls, you guys, Mike and Nathan. Appreciate it a lot. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the July 22nd, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here. Thank you for tuning in. Love the support, need the support, and I really appreciate it. We're in our ninth season, going on our tenth season pretty soon. Pretty amazing, just out here babbling away, and I truly appreciate it. And remember, when this election comes in November, we got to stay focused. Don't get pulled away by the propaganda and all the lies and the fake news media. Just stay focused. Vote in November. Let's vote in a big conservative Republican constitutional block. Let's get rid of the progressives. Once we get these progressives out of the way, we take the House, we take the Senate, we have a chance to fix things from there. We have to hold Republicans' feet to the fire, and we can't do it while we're being attacked by the left progressives. Very important that we win this election that way. That'll make the difference. That'll make the difference. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.